on this Friday night, fabulous Friday night with William Mills Tompkins. Bill has contributed so much already. We have a long, long way to go with this astonishing story of this gentleman who is sharing it, as well as these documents, which are up there now for your viewing and reading edification. Keep in mind that these are 70-plus years old in many cases. Now, what I'm going to do is read just a little bit from one of them. This is serial number 037, subtitled Gravitics, Electric Propulsion, Ionic Propulsion. And if that's okay with you, Bill, I'll read a little bit of this.
Yeah, please do, yes.
All right. Now, the title of it is in German, all right? It's got an introduction. It has to do with MESO, Mesofield Theory by H.J. Kepler, in English and in German. And it's fascinating. This is September 1952, page 181 to 187. I'm not going to read all those pages, but I'll give you an idea here. This is an abstract of it. In the introduction, Kepler starts from the well-assured assumption that chemical rocketry will suffice for both Earth satellite missions and even for interplanetary expeditions to the near planets, and accepts the conclusions that space vehicles will be sent to destinations farther than, say, Mars, but they will have to be propelled by power from new energy sources. He, Kepler, definitely questions whether nuclear heating of an inert working fluid will ever become practical because of the high temperatures involved. He, Kepler, and Heim, H-E-I-M, are seeking an entirely new approach which, quote, does not employ the principle of rocket propulsion, end quote, but rather the direct transformation of electromagnetic energy into kinetic energy by means of the contrabaric state of a meso field, M-E-S-O. Kepler expounds Heim's meso field theory essentially as follows. Heim postulates a sixth-dimensional field. Now, we only know of three dimensions, right? All right, well, as Bill mentioned in his last program here, we're living in at least a six-dimensional existence. Postulates a six-dimensional field which describes not only the gravitational and electromagnetic phenomenon, but also a third manifestation which he names MESO, M-E-S-O, field. This MESO field is envisaged as, quote, capable of two different actions, viz., V-I-Z, the contrabaric state, which transforms a material phenomenon directly into ponderomotive action by emission of gravitational waves, resulting in an accelerated motion, and the dynabaric state, through which purely electromagnetic energy is liberated from matter without vast products or heat. The propulsion is to be achieved by first liberating electromagnetic energy and then transforming it directly into accelerated motion. There's a handful right there, Mr. Tompkins. Wow. There it is, an admission in 1952 by the genius Kepler that nuclear had no future. Too much heat, among other things. Just a waste of time.
And like you say, this is 70 years ago, and these individuals that Dr. Klemperer brought into what really was the secret think tank in Douglas Engineering that nobody even knew was in there. These fellows knew at that time that don't do nuclear. Now, he didn't, your quotes didn't get into the radiation problem.
Right.
And the total inability. Now, this is extremely important. Nobody has been able to get anything that is related to nuclear and have it go away. All of the companies, the nuclear power plants, the military, the nuclear bombs, everybody is trying to get this, the cores, into, remove it from the existing areas and take it out on the desert, drill a big hole into hopefully a cavern and put all the stuff in there. But it's going to be thousands of years before you're able to even get around the entrance to that cavern.
Absolutely right. Yep. Yep.
Unbelievable.
Look at Fukushima. So, look at Fukushima, for example. The greatest catastrophe in recorded history. Nobody talks about it. The government won't talk about it until finally today, 5 years later, they make an announcement that, gee, they found a couple of fish with cesium-134 in them and tumors and all the rest of it. Well, take my word for it, and I hope you've been listening. Every Monday night, we do a special on Fukushima with Yoichi Shimatsu, former weekend editor of the Japan Times newspaper, and Dana Durnford joined us about a year ago. And we bring you up to date on what's really going on with this radioactivity. All the radionuclides that are coming over here in the water, in the air, in the rain, in the wind. We are being, in the Northern Hemisphere, continually exposed to this stuff. For goodness sakes, the above ground tests in Nevada in the 1950s are still in the upper atmosphere in terms of radionuclides, and they're still coming down on us that long ago. Go ahead, Bill, please.
Okay, well, actually, even people that watch movies, they don't know where John Wayne went. They don't know why he isn't here.
That's right.
And he wasn't the only person. And I'm just trying to say, they're doing, they're out there on the desert, they got another Cowboy and Indian movie, and they're making a movie. And upwind, we got a nuclear going, and the radiation come down, and it literally it affected every person in the whole broadcast, the whole movie group that were taking the movies.
Everybody, the whole location crew, all of them, everybody, all exposed.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And so here we got John Wayne, and everybody loves John Wayne. He didn't know what happened to him. They didn't know what happened to them. But you people that do this, and I'm trying to say, I'm talking to the nuclear power plants. I'm saying, you people, you should be put in prison. What you're doing is you're destroying us. You're destroying your own planet. And if you keep doing this, nobody, no planet, no fish, no people are going to be able to live here. And you're not fixing it. You're still implementing it. It's insanity. I hate to get on a soapbox on this.
No, that's a soapbox of salvation you're on, so stand on it as long as you want. We're going down unless we stop this madness.
Absolutely. And the extraterrestrials unfortunately, are a lot smarter than us. Now, you say that, okay, I'm smart, I got my PhD and so-and-so, and you guys are just stretching the truth. Okay? But what we don't accept is that on this planet, every man or woman that got a PhD, whether it was in science, whether it was in medicine, doesn't make any difference. Everyone that got a PhD, and I'm not trying to run you down, I'm only saying, you were given incorrect information the entire 6 years that you were at the university. You fellows that are astronomers out there, you have been given information on what the size of the planets are, what the size of the galaxy are, how many galaxies are out there. We've been lied to for 5 to 6 thousand years. Everything that's in the schools, whether you start with the grade school, high school, university, all the way up, is incorrect information. And we need to stop and think of what we've just said here. Because what we've been fed on nuclear are lies also. And nobody seems to understand, like, what Jeff is trying to say here. Nobody gets into discussions about what happened in Japan. nobody gets into discussions of why so many different species of dead fish are coming to the surface on the Pacific coast out here, and why the numbers of people that can catch a fish are dropping and dropping and dropping. So there's a point where you're not even going to have fish as a food supply.
No, you can't eat anything. Frank Chile, we've talked, but you can't eat anything from the Pacific Ocean anymore. And I've been telling people this now since shortly after Fukushima blew up. You can't do it. Don't take a chance. And with this announcement today, Bill, that, oh my, cesium-134 was found in a couple of fish. Come on, this is the understatement of the century. Here we have cesium-134. That's not the only radionuclide. There are hundreds of them. And they said, oh, here's another cute one. They said, oh, and we found radiation in some Canadian salmon. As if all salmon don't swim in the same damned ocean, but they called it Canadian salmon to try to protect the American salmon fisheries, I guess. They're all exposed to it. This is nuts. You see, the EPA has lied. Woods Hole has lied. They've all lied to us, just like Bill is trying to tell us. We've been lied to forever, 5,000, 6,000 years, about our past on this planet, about our present on this planet, and if we have a future, about that too. We've got to break through this whole incredible historic paradigm of unyielding lies. It's bad.
It's unreal. And I'm not trying to exaggerate on what I'm trying to say here. All I'm asking is that the audience ask themselves the questions. Maybe what Rince and Bill are saying here, they don't have to accept. They can listen to it. They don't have to accept it. But if you could just accept a small part of what we've been trying to say and think about it and then realize that, holy cats, this needs to be fixed. We need to fix this. This means collectively we have to understand what really has taken place. The truth has to be in the universities, in the high schools, in the grade schools, and it should be on TV programming. And unfortunately, every news broadcast on the planet is still putting out incorrect information.
Let me ask all of you, when is the last time you heard the name Fukushima in a major media platform? You haven't. It's been a long time. You don't hear anything about it because the lid is on. The lies continue. We have killed the entire northern Pacific Ocean. The North Pacific Ocean is dead for all practical purposes, and it's not going to recover. It's over. It's done.
Very, very important. You've got to understand what's happened. Now, if you go back to this book, it's not a book, but it's a technical document. It's called Unconventional Propulsion.
Mm-hmm.
And they address this. These fellows all address this. And yes, some of them had mind control from Nordics. But most of them were beginning to understand that we couldn't continue to go the way we've been going, and this is 60, 70 years ago.
Right.
And so, again, we don't talk about this in the newspapers. We don't talk about it on the 6 o'clock news. And it's not just that we don't talk about nuclear. We don't talk about the fact that there's nice extraterrestrials out there who really want to help us, and we're going to have to stop what the military and particularly what the government control has been doing.
Right.
This
whole subject in the way and in the fashion that we are presenting it should be being taught in junior high school, every college, In fact, you should be able to get a master's degree in the Fukushima catastrophe. But we don't have any data because it's all been held from us. And believe me, the government is testing the oceans around the clock at varying levels from the surface on down to probably 200-300 meters. They're testing the atmosphere all the way up to the upper levels of it. They know how much radiation. They know which kind of nuclides are there. They know what is happening to the West Coast, the Midwest, the East, the Atlantic, Europe. It's the entire Northern Hemisphere that's being impacted by this. Okay? The whole thing. And if you live along the coast, on the West Coast, I would urge you to consider moving inland a couple of 100 miles at least. Get away from that marine layer, because that's where this stuff is going to manifest itself most obviously and most deleteriously quickest. Sorry, Bill. Go ahead. It gets me really angry, this thing.
Well, I agree, and I think it's got to be fixed. This situation that's sort of presented in this crazy thing that back then they just called unconventional propulsion. Essentially, it was found that there were several different types of addressing free energy, total free energy. There was enough of it existing out in space to operate essentially everything that we could possibly ever come up with as a requirement as a civilization, and it would be totally free. And so these fellows were approaching that point like 60 and 70 years ago, and then this gets cut off, and it gets cut off because the government is controlling, like Jeff has just said, information to the public. And so you don't know about this. And addressing a document like unconventional propulsion systems, there's a dozen of these fellows looking at the subject in totally different ways, and they're running with the ball. And it's amazing that they got as far as they did at that time. And obviously, you've got Caltech, you've got JPL, you've got all these other organizations which were involved in the same thing.
Right.
And again, that information is not published. The data that came out of the Navy studies at China Lake, obviously, that never got released. And I'm just saying that there is so much information which should be released that's there that can help us. And if you'll accept even half of what Jeff is trying to say about the Pacific Ocean not being a good place for the fish, it's not a good place for us either. And it's amazing. Nobody, like Jeff is saying, nobody says anything about the nuclear problem in Japan at that time. It's not discussed. It's not even on non-technical documents. I can't believe it.
It's really appalling that there are no words to describe the magnitude of the catastrophe we have wrought upon ourselves. We have been so lucky that we only have Chernobyl and Fukushima to point to. 3 Mile Island was bad, but Fukushima takes the cake. And we have these power plants that the military-industrial complex demands be relicensed for another 20 years of operations after their original term of 30, maybe 40 years has expired. The pipes are rotten. They're being eaten away by radiation. We have leaks. Indian Point should be shut down yesterday. I could go on and on about these things. We are dodging bullet after bullet, and we're going to run out of luck here pretty soon. And there's going to be a Fukushima here in the U.S. It's just a matter of time. And when that happens, everything downwind is gone, dead, over, finished. And if it happens in Nebraska, for example, just draw an arc and put a cone in it all the way from there, follow the prevailing winds to the East Coast, And that's your dead zone.
And this is not something that is not going to happen. It's definitely, it's real. It's bound to take place, and it can happen before morning tomorrow morning.
Exactly.
It's unreal to go back and read some of the documents and the stuff that Jeff has got there that actually came out of the studies in the secret think tank at Douglas way back then. These fellas knew, like, Jeff just read that nuclear was a no-no. And if we address other civilizations out there looking back at us, they're just shaking their heads. They know what's going to happen. So what I'm alluding to here is we're not innocent in this whole thing. And you need to step back and address this, because in this case, we're the bad guys compared to the good guys out there. And I can understand why they would come in here and attempt to influence us not to do this. And it's been all over all of the documents from the Nordic side of the fence. You don't do this, you stop it, and if you don't, you're going to have to leave your planet.
Feet first.
Now, I just want to add one thing in this part. Again, if you look, and I can't remember the page, the folks that have a copy of that book, Selected by Extraterrestrials, there's a photo drawing in there of a 17-kilometer-long, cigar-shaped transport, space transport, okay?
He did say kilometer, just in case you weren't listening. That's awfully big.
Yeah, I'm trying to say, each one of you, have to ask yourself the question, why was that being considered in the secret think tank back in 1953? Why were they doing that? Why did they even take the time to design something like that? Now, yes, I designed it, but I didn't design it because it was my idea. I was told to do this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So who were the people at that time in the secret think tank that were addressing not just the stuff that we've been talking about before, but the fact that nuclear was being used as a weapon? And then later on, it gets used for generating electrical power worldwide.
Yeah, most insane, I think, of mankind's many foolish decisions, without question, to use splitting the atom, which creates endlessly dirty, deadly waste, to boil water, to turn turbines, to make electricity. Not one nuclear power plant has ever made a penny profit. They have all been financial calamities passed along to the rates, and the users have to pay. There's nothing about it. And I don't understand how anybody, whether it be America or Russia or anybody else who's in the business of building reactors, can even talk about, haven't they learned anything? Didn't the Russians learn about Chernobyl in Ukraine and what'll happen? Haven't the Japanese are restarting reactors? What is wrong with these people? Do they want the planet to die? Do they want everyone dead? Is that it? That's what's going to happen. Well, you got whales in the Pacific Ocean that are dying with 4% of their normal body fat. They're starving to death. That's why they're dying. The orcas are dying. Same thing. The food supply is gone. And the higher up the food chain you go, the more concentrated the radioactivity gets in the, let's say you're an orca and you eat seals. Those seals have eaten fish, which have eaten smaller fish, smaller fish, smaller fish, algae and plankton at the bottom, and all the way up the chain it concentrates the radiation. By the time the orca eats a seal, it's a death drop, and they die. You can't do that. So that's why orcas are dying. And they don't act the same. Even the professional scientists who watch them, they don't make the same noises. They're dying. We've killed off the damned ocean. Remember the guy from Australia who sailed his yacht from Osaka to San Francisco? He held a news conference. He was an Aussie. He held a news conference. And he says, all the way across the ocean, I used to make this trip because I was so amazed at the patterns, the incredible bounty of life in the water and above the water and the air, the birds. He said, I came all the way across the ocean this time. And this is about 5 years ago now. He said, I saw one bird, two fish, and one whale with a tumor on its head. That's all he saw in the whole damned trip. And I have the story up there. You can find it. It's true. The Pacific Ocean was dead years ago. They're just now beginning to back into trying to tell us, well, gee, the Canadian salmon have radioactivity, so you might not want to eat that. They're not telling us 99.9% of reality and the truth about what's happened to the Pacific Ocean, what we've done. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, we really haven't addressed... We haven't addressed the situation right now because essentially the food chain in not just the United States but all over the planet is broken.
Yes, sir.
And I don't like to get everybody scared, but I'm saying that you really need to address what foods you eat, because we're putting poison into virtually two-thirds of what we eat in the processing. So it's the food system that's broken. And for instance, milk doesn't taste like milk. You try to find a normal type of beef, and you find it's not just that the high gristle type is the best you can buy, and the price, of course, goes up, but virtually everything that the animals create has been affected because of the food that's being fed to them. So this entire system is incorrect, and there's no attempt to fix it. And almost forget about nuclear, our food chain is broken.
We also, Bill, have the issue of Monsanto and its genetically modified organisms, GMOs, crops, grains, things that we rely upon to maintain our relative safety from disease, to build our immune systems. They're all being torn down. We have no safe fruits and vegetables unless they're organic. And many, of the organic products really aren't organic anymore. There's a war on organic produce being fought by the madmen at Monsanto. They want their products to drift and cross-pollinate and ruin the certification of organic farms and their produce. So there are many, many things involved with this. It's boiling down to a catastrophe, and Bill just put his finger on it. The food chain is broken. How many bees have we lost through insecticides? Is it all pesticides, insecticides have done this to the bees? Don't look much further than that. We've done it with our own poisons. It's crazy. It's like we have a death wish, Bill. It's like this species wants to kill itself.
Well, you don't want to accept that, but actually, that is the condition. And what you're really trying to say is, we need a lot of things fixed. And fortunately, we have some really nice extraterrestrials that would rather we not get destroyed or destroy ourselves. And they've been helping, but we've got bad guys who have already written us off, period. And we need to be exposed to this truth and these other truths. Otherwise, it's not going to get fixed. It will not get fixed. People need to know what's going on, and they need to participate in seeing that it gets fixed.
And they're watching us. We're judged by our actions, all right? They know what we're doing. And until and unless this whole thing is turned around 180 degrees, why should they help us? Why should they help us if we're not able to make the decision on our own to try to clean up our planet and save our lives? What merit do we have as a species?
Unfortunately, that's the condition.
Go ahead. No, I was going to go back and read some more of the documents, but let's finish up this and we'll do that, unless you want me to.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. I was reading from the MESO, MESO concept of energy. I'm going to go back to, this is serial Z037, page 2. Although very strong forces may thus be generated, the theory indicates, amazingly enough, that it should be possible to so shape the vehicle and so install the field generators, the mesofield, that the occupants would have no sensory perception of the dynamic reaction of the acceleration. Now think about that. They wouldn't feel it. There wouldn't be any G-forces. Velocities of the order of 10,000, here it comes, kilometers a second should thus become attainable. This is 1952. I'll read that again. Velocities of the order of 10,000 kilometers a second should thus become attainable. All right, now this was from Kepler's introduction. Heim's own paper, H-E-I-M, as printed in the Transactions Compromises, one page, page 184, entitled Outline of the Theoretical Investigations of the Mesofield Theory, and 2.5 pages of text entitled Part 1 of the Mesofield Theory. The outline is broken down into 6 chapters, of which the following is a slightly abbreviated English translation. Introduction. Hohmann's results, basic solubility of the astronautic problem. The basic solubility of the astronautic problem. Definition of the problem. Nomenclature and coordinates. Non-Euclidean electrodynamics and the mechanical law of motion. Force components and tensor potential. General differential law of a metric structure gradient. Passage and propagation of unreal transversal gravitational waves. Transversal gravitational waves. Imaginary rotations in a complex plane as consequence of the passage of gravitational waves. And he goes into the next part, theory of gravitation and electromagnetism. The tensor equation of the metric gradient as a variation principle. Tensorial gravitation potential of a static symmetric field. Proportional between gravitational radius and field excitation. Metric characteristics of a world region devoid of real physical events. Electromagnetic excitation sources of the gravitational field. Electric energy tensor determined, but for a world function. World function. World coordinates dependent upon an entropy. And finally, origin of the mesofield theory. Requirement of a 6-dimensional continuum. Requirement, not of 3 dimensions. Requirement of a 6-dimensional continuum. Definition of matter. Asymmetry of the 6-dimensional metric gravitative structure. Metric excitation of a similarly asymmetric field structure. Necessity of an asymmetric intermediate structure and hermetic composition condition. Hence, origin of the mesofield theory. Alternating 6-dimensional metric structure and auto-hermetic component as supermatrix. Vanishing of every matrix spectrum of the translation tensor. Now think about this. This is 1952 that I'm quoting from. And this is where these people are, Heim and Kepler. Their heads are in the stars with this stuff. It's amazing. It's beyond words.
Well, actually, what Jeff is trying to, he's using all of these technical fields and all of these technical titles, even words that most people have never even heard of. But it's simply engineers and scientists trying to approach a different method of energy use. And his point where you have 8, 9, 10, 14 different people addressing the same thought in that secret think tank, and the time period is hard to believe that these people were doing this back then. And okay, they're using a lot of high technical phrasing and words, but they essentially are coming up with electromagnetic and or anti-gravitational propulsion, which essentially becomes free because it is using a free energy that exists out there. And they're defining this method utilizing not three-dimensional but six-dimensional
physics.
And it's, to me, I have to say, and I agree with Jeff, it's astounding that these people were working on this back then. And to me, we should have, I told you before, I've got this technical progress versus time curve up on my wall here in my little office.
Uh-huh.
And actually I developed at TRW and then it became holy water on it. They threw the holy water on it.
Wow.
But it goes back 30,000 years, and it gets to 1938-39, and it starts to hit up. And it goes up off of the top of the charts time-wise. And this is because we are being exposed to the potential method of utilizing other energies and expanding our capabilities and also extending our life. And I don't want to change the subject here, but you have to realize that all we don't know all, but all that we have studied of different extraterrestrials all live far more long lives than we do here. And this is because we have been given different chemicals for 6,000 years by the reptilians, preventing us and preventing young physicists from developing, even after they've developed the documents you've just heard that Jeff wrote, preventing that from being used.
Oh, this is very interesting, Bill. Let me reflect on that just for a minute. So you're suggesting that we as a species have had our lifespans intentionally held down so we cannot live long enough to acquire the wisdom to create the kinds of technology which eventually we will create or it'll be given to us. Is that correct? That's fascinating.
That's correct. Yeah, but again, the numbers out of the secret think tank at Douglas and later accepted at TRW Space Systems was that we are only using 2.3% of a massive brain capability.
Wow.
And that the cause of this is that we're smoking somebody's chemical, which is dropped on the planet every 4 to 6 weeks.
It causes senescence. It causes us to age and die. There's an old expression, we grow too soon old and too old smart.
Yes. Wow. And so it's not that we are not smart. it's been accepted medically at TRW that we're extremely a brilliant species. And yes, we are cousins of Nordic types, but they live 2,000 to... latest numbers are 3,200 comparable years. That number has gone up. That number has gone up very recently. And they look exactly like you. Okay? So if they're cousins, there are cousins, and we have the same bones, the same flesh as they do, our brains should have the capability of theirs. And it does. It does have, but we're not allowed to use it. Wow.
Wow, indeed. Well, I would submit that perhaps if we were allowed to use just a little bit more than 2.5% or whatever it is, maybe we'd figure out how stupid it is to have used nuclear for anything on this planet.
Yes.
Maybe our stupidity has put us into this spiral into oblivion. I don't know. We'll see. It makes perfect sense, though. If we could simply live longer and have physical health, let's say double our current lifespan, we lived normally to, say, 150 instead of 70, 80, think of the wisdom we would compile individually. And all of you listening know, or you wouldn't be listening to this program, that as you have grown older, generally speaking, you have grown much wiser. That wisdom is simply not available to young people. It takes time and exposure to intellectual content to process to give us the wisdom that we get, unfortunately, too late in life in so many cases.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. If I could just interrupt for a minute.
Please.
We have a program that's part of what I had been involved in. Or actually, I did work for Lockheed three times. And actually four times, because one time I worked for the Navy, who was running another secret program that Lockheed was doing. But I was working in their Lockheed facility. Now, on one of the labs, which is right at the Lockheed facility in Burbank, on one of the hills, low hills behind that, a Nordic guy, small fellow, came to Lockheed about 9 or 10 years ago. And he was brilliant, so they used him as sort of a consultant. Okay, this fellow looks just like us, but slightly different, in that his height is like 5'1". Very pleasant individual. His wife is a very pretty girl, and the children, both the two girls and the son, are all really nice people. They go to the schools in Burbank. And he works for Lockheed in one of the labs there. And now, he really doesn't work for Lockheed. Lockheed is letting him use one of their laboratories.
Hmm.
And he's not from here. And his age is 2,900. He's 2,900 years old. Okay. Now, what you want to really think about here for a second, that particular group of extraterrestrials are through a normal 4-year university by the time they're 9 years old.
Hmm.
And so they will have their doctors by 12 years old. And so they're very smart. They learn very young, much faster than we do, okay? And what I'm trying to say is, everybody seems to think that okay, if there's extraterrestrials out there, they're like us and they live like we do and everything. Okay, here's a fella, and incidentally, there's eight of them, eight young men, working in this lab, too. He sort of runs it. And so all of them have their children here. All of them got through the university with their doctors at 9, 10, 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And their children are going to the schools here. But the problem is they have a totally different method of learning than we do. And so they then are not learning. They go to the schools. They go through the classes. But they have telepathically implemented everything that they're doing for the from 8 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon at class in school. Their mind is listening to and studying the subjects, okay? Telepathically, they're picking up from their star's planet the teaching that they should be getting. So when they come out of the middle school, high school, university, whatever,
mm-hmm.
They do this in the university in 12 years. And it's interesting that they will sit, they will talk with the other children,
uh-huh.
they will enjoy them, they'll exercise with them in school, but they're getting two separate educations. One from another part of the galaxy, and the other one from the schools in Burbank.
Fascinating.
Wow. that's a double wow. Okay?
Yeah, it is.
And so you say, Bill, I don't believe what you're saying there. Okay, I'm sorry. I just told you what is really happening in Burbank. And, of course, they actually don't recommend, they're not actually physically helping on the Skunk Works program, but they are associated with them. And at times they make suggestions to the Skunk Works, okay? The rest of it, they go back to their work. Now, if you'll put those six people and their children back over in their moon, okay, that's their operation. They came here as part of the work they would normally be doing with their families, and not your moon, their moon. They just happen to be working here and helping it once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's extremely interesting.
Fascinating.
We have this documented, so
oh, yeah.
Regardless of whether you accept it or not, that's what's going on in Burbank.
So there's a duality here, parallel tracks, and one of them is they're being downloaded from home, wherever home may be, or from a home sourced
yes.
stream of knowledge and information. They are also able to function and have fun on the primitive level of their classmates. That's just really remarkable.
I think that's cool, really. I do. I think that's cool. And obviously some of this rubs off with other people in Burbank Lockheed, so that's a good consultant to have, and I would and actually Lockheed is paying for all their expenses, okay, for living expenses, for their automobiles,
mm-hmm,
for the house
mm-hmm.
rent, everything
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so yeah, they're, you can say they're consultants, but I think the part about their children is extremely interesting.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Because
yeah.
it's got to be fascinating, okay, to stop and think they could be, wait a minute, they could be doing the same thing with all these thousands of other people on the moon, their moon, not your moon, their moon.
Okay? Got it.
But they're down here on planet Earth, they're working for Lockheed. But they're not really working for them.
They're hanging out there. They're just hanging out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, they're doing their homework.
Yeah, this is really interesting. It's unprecedented, the information you're getting from Bill Tompkins, whom, if you don't know, is 93 years young, and talk about living longer than most people. Listen to this man's mind work. You can do the same thing. It's really up to you to make that decision. You have to take care of that equipment you're given at conception. It's called your body. Right? You are what you eat and you are what you think. Be right back with another hour with Bill. Hold on.